It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time for us to try to make some sense of these wacky NBA playoffs. The truth is back from Boston. Paul Pierce back in this house.
Oh,
how are you, sir?
Yeah. How y'all doing today?
And as usual, we got Keyshawn. All facts, no breaks, Johnson, right?
Yeah, that's what you want
no
to call
breaks.
Me, Skip.
Do we spell it on this show, B-R-E-A-K-S? You
yes.
get no breaks on this show?
You absolutely
yes.
get none. Especially Paul. You between you
no
and him,
yeah.
with this Dallas Maverick
yeah.
and this
yeah.
Denver Nugget stuff, we'll have yeah. those conversations, though.
All right, here we go. Okay, we do start in New York with those Knicks. What's left of those Knicks? Man, it looked like the Knicks were going to win easily last night. Then somehow Jalen Brunson hurt his foot. I'm still not sure how that happened. And he went to the locker room late in the first quarter, and he stayed in the locker room until through almost through halftime as the Knicks went from 7 up to 10 down at half. But shades of Willis Reed 54 years ago to the night. Jalen Brunson did come out for the second half. He played all 24 minutes of the second half. He scored 10 points in the third quarter. He scored 14 in the fourth. As you ready for this, the Knicks won the second half 67-48. They won the game by 9. It was 130-121. Yet, the Knicks did all of the above after losing OG Anunoby to a pulled hamstring, it appeared, on a failed dunk attempt with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. So now, think about this. Knicks have lost Julius Randle and Bogdanovich and Mitchell Robinson and Anunoby. And Jalen Brunson didn't sound all that confident about being able to play game 3 tomorrow night at Indiana. Yet, the Knicks still pulled it out last night, and the Pacers should be ashamed of themselves. So, Paul, you like the Pacers to win this series. How do you explain why the Knicks won that game last night?
It's easy, Skip. You know what's mind-boggling to me? Because when I looked at the last series when the Knicks played Philly, same thing, effort, rebounding. So I think I would have thought coming into this series, Rick Carlisle would put an emphasis on rebounding.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, if y'all could just keep the Knicks off the glass offensively, then we got a chance. But it's just like sometimes the Knicks' best offense is take the shot, take a bad shot, miss it, and get the offensive rebound and put it back. But I think a couple of things are happening. Not only is the effort and the rebounding is not there, I really think he's being – I think Rick Carlisle is being outcoached. You know, I'm looking at the schemes. They're picking up full court. And I'm like, you know, Indiana's one of the more fouling teams in the league.
Yep.
You know, they give up more free throws than pretty much everybody all season long. So why would you pick up full court?
Well, I think they're trying to wear out Jalen Brunson as best they can with multiple defenders full court.
He's on a record tear right now. I mean, come on. Give him some space. Make him.
Yep.
And another thing, they're not switching on pick and roll. So it's leaving them. They're going over screens. And they're allowing Knicks to get into the paint where they're just dominating them in the paint. 62 points in the paint. I mean, I know Indiana's getting to the paint too, but you can't allow this team to just get whatever they want. So now when they get layups, it's opening up their three-point shooting, especially late in the game. And another thing that's mind-boggling is Aaron Nesmith probably shouldn't play another minute in this series.
Mm.
Especially
that's
when
– harsh.
I mean, this is what I look at. You played 34 minutes, and the emphasis on rebounding, right? You got me one rebound.
Yep.
Whereas I look at T.J. McConnell, who's a plus 10, who got me three rebounds, 10 points, 12 assists.
And he's like 5'8", but go ahead.
But he's the best defender that you have for Jalen Brunson.
He is.
He picks up full court. He's playing tough defense on him.
And he did not play the last 7 minutes.
And then
the
last 7 minutes. Obi Toppin, 20 points, has been their best player.
Sensational, yep.
And he doesn't play the last 9 minutes.
Yep.
So that a lot of that tells me that, like, and I hear Rick Carlisle saying, like, well, this is what we've done all year long. Well, the playoffs is about making adjustments. So if you're not making the necessary adjustments, that just tells me that you're stuck on your ways. The playoffs is about making adjustments, Skip, because teams are going to come at you in different ways than they did in the regular season. Mm. And so if he's not going to make the necessary adjustments, then they're going to get swept. Mm. And then Tyrese Halliburton.
Yep.
He looks like an all-star one half, and then it just feels like he forgets that he's the star of the team. Because he comes out the second half, he's not aggressive. I mean, you're on fire. If you're the star, the all-star on the team, you got to shoot yourself into a 40-50-point game.
It looked like he was on the way. Yep, I agree.
You know, I mean, this is a crucial game. You feel like, all right, you know, they got their two at home, the Knicks. We'll go home and get our two. No, that's not guaranteed. When you have a team, you're down 10, you're dealing with it. And they didn't take advantage of Jalen Brunson being hurt. You know, putting him in more of isolation plays to where he can get in foul trouble or work, make him work. So it's a number of things that I was disappointed in last night. And I still got the Pacers in the series because I feel like, Coach Tibbs, he's running his players into the ground. Mm. They're dropping like flies one by one. And I'm not sure they can hold up now. If they can get past 6, if they can get to game 6, I believe Indiana will win the series. Mm. But they got to win the next 2 at home. If they win the next 2 at home, they got a shot. But I still got them because I just don't know the injury updates and what's going on with Brunson and OG. If he's not there, he's a huge piece to what they do.
Well, it didn't look good.
It didn't look good.
No.
Well, it's simple, as I like to say, Skip. It's simple for me.
It's always simple for
me. It's because it is. When you look at it, Jalen Brunson on the floor.
Yeah.
They're doing well. They tied. So when he left the game, it was a tie game, 36-36. He's off the floor. They plus 26 with him on it, minus 17 with him off the floor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden you're down, like you said, Skip, by 10 at halftime. Mm-hmm. He comes back from a phantom injury because I don't know exactly what happened. It looked like originally he got hit in a certain spot, but it was his foot. So I don't know
Let's quickly go deeper into this because I don't know.
I never
know about these injuries. But first he's grabbing his wrist, and I thought, did he hurt his shooting wrist? And he banged into Nembhard.
I said a certain spot. I didn't want to go into it.
But that looked like classic groin shot but you're going to shake it off in about 2 or 3 minutes. And he's holding his wrist for a second, I thought, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
And then he goes back down the floor and plays defense, and I don't see anything happen where I say, that looked dangerous. That looked right.
Yeah.
And then he starts trotting toward the bench, and he waves to the bench, get me out of here.
Yeah.
What? Get you out for what? And then they announce it's actually his foot.
Yeah.
Okay. But they don't say specifically, did you sprain your foot? Did you bone bruise it? Did you stress fracture it? I don't know. There are lots of things that could happen to your foot, but it wasn't apparently his ankle. He didn't turn his ankle.
No.
I don't know. It's mysterious. I don't know. Phantom would suggest that it didn't happen. He looked pretty good in the second half.
It didn't happen to me in my eyes because it was 3 different things that occurred in a short period of time, from the wrist to the groin to the foot, and none of the 3 could you see exactly what happened. Now, whatever, right? At the end of the day, he came back out.
Okay, but the other weird part of it, he went to the locker room for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long
time. You have to let the whole quarter. In real time, that's like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you have to let the guy with the white coat with the pen in his ear or the pen in his pocket.
I understand.
He has to make sure that the medicine is taking place. You know, when you go in there, you see the doctor. You got to make sure it's right.
Are you suggesting it was injectable?
It could have been a pill. It could have been injectable. Right. Whatever it was, they had to make sure it got right. So when he comes back out on the court, all of a sudden, they're a different basketball team.
No doubt.
Okay? They saw their fierce leader taking charge and doing things. And I, you know, Rick was here the other day talking about how hard it was for him to get shots up. I'm like, where? How is it hard for him to get shots up? He just, he basically gave you another 40 piece and played only three quarters. Basically, if, because if you add in the second quarter,
I'll buy that.
He probably going to have 40.
Yep.
You know, and so you look at who was guarding him and how they wanted to try to do things with him, and but they couldn't. When they picked him up full court, he got cross court, dribble, dribble, dribble. They never doubled him. They never tried to, like Paul said, they never switched. It was almost like they dared him as the littlest guy on the court for the Knicks being able to knock down shots on a consistent basis. And he was able to do that leading the charge, especially when OG went out of the game. That you thought, okay, he was having such a, I guess, a historical game for himself.
Well, he had his career high in 28 minutes that he did play, had 28 points.
Yeah, and so...
OG, right?
Yeah, so once he went out, I believe that the Pacers felt like, okay, we got them right where we want them. But they did not seize the moment.
No.
Instead, they were looking for calls. They were looking for calls. Instead of going and creating those calls, they're looking for them any way they can. Now, were there a few calls in the game that the referees probably should have seen and called? Yeah. Hart pushing it back to Halliburton.
That
was
that
clear.
Yeah.
You know, they missed it.
This thing come down to calls by the refs.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that they did,
like,
Paul.
But you know how
I'm saying they looking for him, though.
They looking for it. This came down to that third quarter. Like, you'll look at the numbers and say, all right, Tyrese had a really good game. You didn't watch the game and you just... But to me, I thought... He didn't do what was necessary to get a certain type of win in the playoffs on the road in a hostile environment that you needed in the second half. Didn't come out. I don't think he took a shot the whole third quarter. Maybe one shot.
Who,
he got a layup. Halliburton. He got like one layup.
One out of two.
But that's not showing me the aggression.
He had 22 in the first half, and you'd say, keep it up, man.
Keep it going. Yeah. Like, if I'm having a game like I'm having, if I'm Halliburton, I'm going to set the tone the third quarter. But instead, I think he took a step back, went to his passing mode, and they just couldn't hit a shot in the third quarter. At one point, they only had 6 points. They ended up with 18, but for a long time, they were stuck on 6 points. They were getting outscored. And then...
Well, they got outscored in the third quarter.
You let Brunson come in and ignite the crowd, and from that point over, I was like, no way the Pacers are going to win this. No way.
Now, is the series over? No, it's not. They got to go back to Indy, and I'm sure they'll be fired up, Skip, to get a home game. But I do believe once New York gets one in Indy, it's a wrap at that point, because the crowd in New York was into that. They're into it. They feel like they're getting ready to go to the NBA Finals, so they're giving all that energy to their team. I just think that, again, like Paul said, I think Rick Carlisle got out-coached. He was too worried about the referees. I mean, like, it's just and not focused in on what he should be doing and making the necessary adjustments to slow Brunson down. Even Hart knocking down shots when he needed to. They was like, oh, you go ahead. We dare you to shoot. Oh, okay. Y'all still daring me to shoot?
Yeah.
I'll shoot. And that's how they lose the game.
Okay. I like Rick Carlisle a lot. I know him, and he does have a championship on his resume.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not going to condemn him for last night, but I did not like it that after the game, he marched right to the podium and made it all about the referees, saying, well, we had 29 calls that went against us in game one, but we chose not to send those to the league office, but now we're going to send. And it's desperate on his part, and he was at fault, because you got to get TJ in the game somehow down the stretch.
I don't think he should have came out. They should have played them two together, him and Halliburton.
Okay, I get he's doing the old Texas, you dance with who brung you, you know, like, this is how we did it all year, so I'm going to go to tried and true. This is how we got to where we got. And I'm going to let Halliburton close the game. But I told you, because you and I got a dinner bet on this, I'm taking the Knicks because I don't see the Pacers' closer. I don't know who do you trust? Who's going to finish for them? It can be Siakam, but last night he was kind of a no-show. And after Anunoby goes out, think about this. Anunoby is their one athlete on that team. I'm talking about a long, stretchy sort of wing player, right? Yeah. Kind of in your mold.
Yeah.
Where he can defend a lot of positions, because when they're up against it, when Hartenstein gets in foul trouble, Anunoby can guard the center. He can guard Miles Turner. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you lose him, you lose explosion. You lose a key cog to this,
yeah,
where the other guys can't do what Ananobi does.
Not defensively.
No, not defensively. Yeah. And plus, he's got a championship ring. So you trust him in these moments to make big shots, and he was making. He was at his playoff career high.
Yeah.
And so after he goes out, Siakam doesn't have a designated defender because they're old teammates from Toronto, and Ananobi can equalize him. He can stand him off. You know, he can at least sort of keep him to a low roar. And yet, Siakam in the fourth quarter was just, I don't know, he didn't do much of anything.
No, you know what I do? And this just goes back on Coach Carlisle. They didn't get him in a position to where he could be effective. You know, a lot of times, Siakam is effective in the post area.
He is.
They need to get him the ball to where they get the pick and roll, he rolls, they get the switch, get him into his little area to where he can shoot his little fadeaway where he's effective. A lot of times, you know, he missed three threes or open, though.
Yeah.
He can knock those down.
Yeah.
So I think they have to get him in his spots and tell him, man, you got to be aggressive for us because if Halliburton's not going to be aggressive and Siakam's not going to be aggressive. You're right. Who do they go to for a closer?
Yeah.
You know, so I think Siakam has to be the guy.
Yeah. All right.
But they gotta highlight him.
Okay. Now we get down to classic New York Knick grit.
Yeah. It's too much.
I see it every game. I just see them say, okay, watch this. And it's just a matter of want to. I want the ball worse than you want the basketball. Precious Achiuwa comes into the game in the fourth quarter because he's pressed into action.
Yeah.
He gets three offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, and they were all killers for the visiting team, where they just kill your heart and soul, where you say, God, we just played our ass off for, you know, 20-some seconds on defense, and then they shoot and miss, and they get the ball back, and they start it up again, and we got to suck it up and do this again.
Yeah.
He did that three times, and they had five offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter to seven on defense, so almost half their rebounds were offensive. You're going to lose. If you're at Madison Square Garden with all those people sitting in the front row, you're going to lose.
Right.
And again, after Ananobi goes out, and Jalen was supposed to be hobbled, and sometimes he would kind of be a little limpy. And I don't know if he's just putting it on or if he's just trying to.
He ain't look limpy to me.
You know, he didn't me either. Because if you play 24 minutes, you play every minute of the second half.
Right.
I'm not going to give you any injury breaks on that one.
Oh, well, I'm glad you said that. We'll be having that conversation a little bit later about somebody.
But
I'm glad you
somebody
said
you
that.
Don't believe in.
I'm just saying. You just said it. You the one said it.
All right. Okay. I will remember all of the above. But the point is, on this one, you know, Indiana's got to win this game. They're
gotta win.
They just keep losing players. You have to lose. This is it.
This is it.
Right? Knicks.
Yeah. I can't.
Or like you said, there's a grit, there's a grind, there's a hustle face to everybody
it
on
just
the
is.
Floor. They fly around. It reminds me of like a defensive football
it
team.
Does.
That's they fly around.
They fly
and
around.
They diving on the floor to go get loose balls.
Yeah.
Coming out of nowhere over the sky to get rebounds.
Yeah.
Three Indiana Pacers standing there, and all of a sudden, here go Josh Hart. I'm like, well, it'd be nice to box him out, but they're not in that mode.
They're not.
And when Rick Carlisle say, hey, at the end in his press conference, they're more aggressive, or they, you know, well, yeah, of course, because your guys aren't playing that way. They're just, they're playing like a finesse basketball
they're
team
finesse.
Against an aggressive team in the Knicks. The Knicks are just, they are, I guess what you would call New York. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing New York out of them.
All right. And finally, DiVincenzo, who I've always liked.
I mean,
once upon a time, he took over an NCAA championship game and scored 31 points. But listen, he's making big shots at big moments. He made six threes
50%.
Last night, and they all seem like they mattered.
Damn,
you know, like he'd be like, again?
But you can see when it left his hand, you can see it was going in.
And it looked like he thought it was going
in. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So they got a nice mix. But listen, Jalen Brunson, I don't know how he does it, but he just keeps on keeping on. And yet, if you do have an antidote for him, it's little TJ who can sort of mirror him and match
though?
Him.
Well, not that.
How? He's still dropping buckets.
But the thing is, you have to change up the coverages on a guy like this. I mean, once you see him go for four straight 40-point games, it's just like, all right, let's see who else can beat us. Now, they trapped him one time, but they trapped him all the way out the half court. They found DiVincenzo for a three. First of all, that ain't where you trap a guy at in the scheme of things. When Jalen Brunson start getting to his little dribble habits and he gets around
what
the free throw line.
About 7 seconds to go?
Like
on
the free
clock?
I think you trap him around the free throw line because he likes that area. He gets into the lane, then you send another guy at him. That way the rotations aren't as far away when he makes the pass out of the trap. And you can get to it at DiVincenzo. And I thought you should have trapped him off of Precious. He doesn't even take a three. So use him, whoever he's guarding, who's guarding Precious, use him as a roamer.
Yep.
That guy goes and trap him. I was just watching this game in such frustration, Skip, and I was just like, the little things that I saw that the Pacers were doing, going over pick and rolls that were damn near at half court, going over dribble handouts that where you can go under damn near at half court. Now they're behind, and now you're giving up the lane, and they gave up layup after layup. After layup.
Mm.
And it just didn't make sense to me.
All right, I'm going to repeat again. There's no Julius Randle. He's a good player. A lot of people have issues, but he's a really good player. And you miss that piece to this
puzzle,
an all-star. Right?
He's been an all-star in this league.
Yeah. And then Bogdanović, they acquired. He's a big game shooter. Trust me, he's made a lot of big threes. He's made them against LeBron back in the day. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play, and he's not afraid of the moment. And then Mitchell Robinson at least gave him a backup to Hartenstein, right? Yeah. And Anunoby, we just discussed, is their one-wing athlete who can play both ends. After a while, if you keep losing, and if Jalen is more hobbled, if he wakes up today and he's – I don't know what's wrong with him, but if it's worse than we think, well, I don't know how you keep – replace him because he doesn't like to go to his bench anyway, so he was forced last night. They tried to play Miles McBride 20 minutes. He didn't do much. Alec Burks got in the game, who's been around for a while. Not a bad player. He's still got Shake Milton, who I've always liked Shake Milton, but he doesn't even see the light of play for them. But you could reach for him.
You've got guys that you could actually play.
Jericho Sims.
Why do I need to play him if I'm doing just fine with my seven guys that I'm rotating in and out of the game?
Because you keep losing one of your seven. I mean, if Anunoby can't go, but somebody's got to step
in there. Yeah, but Anunoby can't. It's not he can't not go because Tibbs is wearing him down. He got pushed.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
I'm saying that when you, this conversation about these minutes in wearing them down and wearing them out because losing guys, it ain't because of Tibbs. Everybody wants to make it seem like it's because of Tibbs.
Well, you got to understand, Key, that Tibbs has a reputation.
Oh, no, I understand that.
Wearing and tearing his players. Now, when I look at the injuries to Brunson, and I look at Anunoby, those look like kind of wear and tear, muscle fatigue type of injuries.
To dive deeply into that.
All right.
But here's the point. Are you ready to say Pacers are going to come back and win this series?
Are you ready to say?
No.
I still got the Pacers winning a series in seven.
Okay. Well, you better because you got a dinner with me.
Yeah, Anunoby, if his hamstring is worn out and can't go, and, we don't know what's going on with Brunson. He could have an injury that pops up today. I mean, he's playing off this New York crowd, which gives you adrenaline.
Yeah.
The next day is when you really feel
it. I understand.
Why is this schedule like this, though? Why, they flying back to Indy and they playing on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that way opposed to like Minnesota played on Monday and now not playing?
They're the aberration. They got 3 days off. That they got Monday night all the way to Friday night.
It's TV stuff, man. It's
so weird to me.
They're trying to save the Nuggets, right?
Yeah.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. With summer quickly approaching, CarShield is offering a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs, like AC parts and check engine light mysteries. See why CarShield is voted America's most trusted vehicle protection company, and see why our commitment to our customers has landed us an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. We have live reps here to answer all your questions. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Visit us for your free quick quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio. What do you have to lose? Visit carshield.com/audio.
Man, Luka has been pretty horrible in the four games since he hurt his knee. 5 for his last 35 from 3. That's 14%. If you just take his last two games, he's 15 of 45 from the floor. That's 33%. He's in the last two, 2 for 18 from 3. That's 11%, with 5 turnovers in each of his last two games. So, Keyshawn, gut feeling. Is 5 for 35 more about Luka being hurt, or Luka just missing shots and slumping and going cold?
I think it's a missing shot, slumping and going cold. Mm. I think, honestly, that's what it is. Because, look, man, dude's a great player. By the time his career is over, he'll go down as one of the all-time greats, yada, 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 yada. You'll be able to celebrate that. But as of right now, we cannot try and use an excuse of a knee being tweaked at the same time that he's shooting bad. Because guess what he is also doing? He's playing.
Yeah.
Okay? He's on the floor. Okay? So, if you think about it, he's played over 40 minutes in the last game. Then you talk about game 3 against the Clippers where he actually hurt his knee. You know he played 40 minutes in that game?
Yeah.
He played. So then when you go from game 4 against the Clippers to game 1 of OKC, let me break down the minutes for you. Hurt knee, 45 minutes. Mm. Next game, 39 minutes hurt knee. Next game, 43 minutes hurt knee. Next game, 41 minutes hurt knee. So it's more about he's not hitting his shots. He's not getting there. He's not making them. That's just what it is.
Should you be giving him more credit for playing hurt, just sucking it up and playing through it?
Well, I mean, you're on the floor.
Okay.
It's your team. Y'all in the playoffs are trying to win the championship.
Yep.
There's no difference than Jalen Brunson being injured, going out, coming back in and playing. Mm. No different to me than Paul Pierce coming off the court in the championship game, going to get a damn wheelchair, mm-hmm. but coming back out to play to finish the deal.
Yep.
Whatever was going on with him, he finished the deal. And so there was no excuse that was being made. So I'm not one, as you like to say, all facts, no breaks. I'm not one to sit up here and condemn a man for trying his hardest, but I'm not going to make an excuse.
All right, that's
as
fair.
To 5 to 35. Yeah. I'm just not going to make that excuse.
No.
Because we don't make it for James Harden.
No.
We don't make it for LeBron James, okay? We don't make it for other players in the NBA.
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. Embiid. Mm-hmm. We don't make these excuses. So let's not make an excuse as to why he's struggling, other than he's struggling, he's ice cold, and if he doesn't get it turned around,
they're
going to probably get swept too.
Yeah,
I think I'm agreeing with Keyshawn on this, Skip, because I think a lot of players at this point in the playoffs are injured, you know, whether it's a thigh bruise, a stub toe, or something. And Luka's not the player that you're saying he's not his same athletic self. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't play with any athleticism. He's not this fast guy who gets up and down the court where you can obviously see he's in pain. He plays at the same pace now as he did before, you know, without the knee brace. So I can't give him those excuses. He's high IQ player who relies on his size, his strength, his angles and stuff like that. So he can still be effective. What I will say is, look, man, he's running into some defenses that are geared to stop him, are geared to slow him down, are geared. When I go into the locker room as another team, the scouting report is all about Luka. And when I look at this OKC team, these young athletes they put on the defensive schemes when he gets to the lane, he's just missing shots. I can't give him that.
He's missing shots.
You know, shots that Willie normally make. Yeah. Is he injured? He doesn't have the same lift. Well, he didn't play with lift. He's not playing with the same explosiveness. Well, he never did play with that explosiveness.
Yeah.
So I can't give him that. Right now, it's the playoffs. When the tough gets going, you got to be tougher. That's all it is to it. Mm. Lou Dort have a lot to do with that last game.
Thank you.
Lou Dort got a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, because to me, Lou Dort is the best perimeter defender in the league.
No.
I've been saying this since when I saw a man press up on James Harden in the bubble, I believe, and I've never seen a player get up on James Harden when this is James Harden at his peak.
Yeah.
Like Lou Dort has. And OKC with these young guys, legs are causing all sorts of problems with their speed and athleticism. And it's getting to Luka. And we're saying he hurt. He looks old. He looks worn down. Nah, he's been doing this all year long. Luka's plays high usage, high minutes. He's doing all year long. So we can't make that excuse for him when he starts missing shots now.
All right. To your point about Lu Dort, he's got pit bull in him.
Yeah, he does.
And he's got some NFL in him because he plays strong. He plays extremely physical defense, unlike any other that I see.
The best perimeter defense.
He gets up into you and makes you feel him all the way up the floor, constantly, possession after possession. He wears on you psychologically because he ain't going to stop. And he's not going to back off. He's not going to take possessions off. He's going to come full tilt, full force at you every single time. And it just wears on you mentally.
Yeah.
All right. So I was making a case at the end of the regular season. I thought Lucas should have been the most awarded as the most improved player in the league because he used to be a pathetic shooter from three in the free throw line. Late games, if we go back two or three playoffs ago, he was a liability at the late game free throw line where he just couldn't make them. There are those series against the Clippers where he just struggled, where he'd get in a slump from the free throw line.
I want to raise my hand.
Yeah.
You did mention he struggled in the playoffs a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're in the playoffs right now.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
So here's the point. You know. I do believe he got hurt. I don't know how bad it is because nobody knows except that one human who can feel it.
Right.
But he's a set shooter, and he pushes off the back leg when he shoots it. And it started to bother him psychologically, I believe, after we're going back four games ago. So if we go back
game
to the fourth
game.
So it's in the fourth game against the Clippers. You could see he was trying to put a little extra on the shot. Like it starts to leave his hand, and at the last second, he's trying to like wheel it in with a late push. And it's no, you know, as a pure shooter, it has to be pure. You know, it has to be smooth. And he lost his flow shooting. And now you can see him press and try to aim it. You can't aim a 3-point
shot. So you think the fact that he hurt his knee psychologically,
it got to him, and then
bruised his mental.
Yeah.
So when he's out on the court, for these 168 minutes out of 192 minutes, 88% in the playoffs, it's all mental.
No, I think he's gone into a terrible slump that started with the knee.
Okay.
And now it's contributed to the slump, and he's playing fine. And to your point, he just goes at his speed up the floor anyway. I mean, it doesn't bother him as far as athleticism, because he doesn't play with athleticism.
Right.
So he's fine to play 40 minutes, but he has lost his feel for his shot. Because remember, he was wildly improved this year. He went all the way up to 38% from three in the regular season. That's by
he's
far
shooting 23,
a career high.
Minus
That's what I'm saying.
Right now.
I'm saying he has lost it. And in the regular season, he was almost 80% from the free throw line. He is losing that.
Well, free throws don't have nothing to do with the knee.
But no, see, no, that doesn't. That's
doesn't.
Easy. That's 15 feet
but
of
see, this is why, but
stand right
that's
there.
A risk.
This is
shot.
Why when I said, and you not necessarily ridiculed me, but you kind of looked at me side-eye, Skip, when I said to you, I need to see it.
You did. I
need to see
that.
It.
Yeah.
I just need to.
Yeah.
It's not that I dislike him or I don't think he's great or going to be super great. I just need to see it. I'm not a guy who likes to put a whole lot of yeast on something before it's done.
Yeah.
Because we oftentimes, too much in sports, anoint someone to be something. And we want to be that, so we keep pushing that narrative for them to be it.
Yeah.
But they keep giving us the same results.
True.
Even though they're giving us those results, we still keep pushing the narrative.
You do.
You said to me 2 years ago, he struggled in the playoffs. Well, guess what? We're in the playoffs again.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the playoffs again. So the categories that we're talking about with him, he's minus 10 in field goal percentage, minus 15 in from the regular season 3-point percentage, and minus 6 points per game. All that's down.
Hey, it's disastrous.
And it's the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
And unless Kyrie picks him up in the second half, they have a hard time.
Uh-huh.
And the other night, I thought Kyrie was about to take over, and then Oklahoma City said, nope, watch this. And they go boom, boom, boom with their 3-point
shots. I really
think
he needs to change his style of play. You know, I mean, the numbers, they look good when, at the end of the day. You
what
see,
you want him to do, get his big ass down on the blocks?
I mean, I just think that the way that he plays, being a high usage player who has to make every single play for everybody
else.
Right. We saw this script.
With James Harden.
We saw this script. Yeah. And it can only get you so far.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you look at the teams who win the championship, yeah, you have to have a star player. You have to have a top five player. But I just think, you know, there has to be more ball movement. There has to be more extra passes. They're just, you know, you have to spread the love amongst your teammates. Because like, look at the teams that you're saying that are contenders right now. It's the Celtics, obviously. Look, you got three guys averaging 20 points right now.
You do.
You look at Minnesota. I mean, Gobert, Towns. And we know what Anthony Edwards is doing. I mean,
and McDaniels can do it, too.
And McDaniels, it seems like they're spreading the wealth.
They're spreading the wealth.
And it looks like they move the ball a lot better than what Dallas is doing.
Yeah.
I just think when you got two ball-dominant players like this who needs to go one-on-one each and every time, that works out well for a good defensive team to guard. Because now, if shots aren't falling and you're not that great of a defensive team yourself, you get behind and you wind up losing these games. I just think it's harder to guard ball movement and unpredictability when you move the ball and you put Luka in different spots on the floor. It makes for more unpredictability.
And shots that he's missing on the three-pointers coming off the front rim. Now you get back and you can't even get back in transition. Yeah. Now all of a sudden it's fast break points that you're giving up.
And then like you said, when you guys look at the stats, how his percentages, everything goes down. Because his usage rate is up so much during the regular season. His minutes are up. By the time you get to the playoffs, he's worn down, and that's what he looks like.
Yeah.
He looks more worn down than injured.
He does, but he never looks in shape to me. It just looks like he's a little paunchy to me.
I mean, that's the way he moves. I mean, just like Joker never looks in shape.
No, he doesn't. He's the same. So, Keyshawn, here's the point about Luka. For years, I sat over here talking about him, I didn't like his attitude because I don't like this ha-ha, he's laughing up and down the floor and he's scoring on guys and like it's cute and he's cutting up and laughing to his teammates. I'm like, just stop it, just play. And this year, he started to show me something because I think he's, if you want to do the common term, I think he's got that dog in him.
I like him.
Yeah, I think he's a tough, you know what.
Yeah, I would play with him in a heartbeat. I think so.
Yeah, I think he has true toughness to him. And I think you're going to see him snap out of it tonight. I think he's going to have a good game tonight.
He might snap out of it. It just all depends on whether or not he's
as good as he is. I bet you if you did a poll of players you least likely want to play with, I think he'll be up there.
Because
he's so ball-dominant. If you ask any scorer or any great scorer in NBA history, like Luka is so ball-dominant that it's like, how could you want to play with somebody like that? He'll be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I wonder why KG and Ray wanted to play with you then.
Because I was very unselfish, team player, play hard. Yeah. I wonder why quarterbacks want to play with you talking about give me the damn ball. Give them the damn ball.
Don't say anything.
Would you have been voted the receiver quarterback's least?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
So
I wrote a book talking about giving me the damn. You know the whole book.
No.
Come on. It's like nothing I've ever seen.
I've been on record the last couple of weeks. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was my MVP. But as expected, Nikola Jokic won MVP for a third time, even though he hasn't looked all that valuable against the T-Wolves in games 1 and 2 in Denver. But of course, this is a regular season award, so the Nuggets could get swept, and Joker is still the MVP. Paul, you good with Joker winning his third?
I'm good, Skip. And this is what I say. I said this for a long time. They need to start giving the MVP trophy out right after the regular season.
Yeah.
Because I swear to you, every single year, whoever wins the MVP, you always say, nah, he shouldn't have won it because you look at who's playing good in the playoffs. Unless they count the first round of the playoffs, because it's been some years I'm like, oh, it's easy to say Shai now. He killing in the playoffs. Mm. 29, 30 points a game, and now you see a Joker down 0-2 playing terrible right now. You be like, oh, no, it shouldn't be him.
Yep.
But we know in reality what Joker did during the regular season is just MVP-ish. I mean, from top to bottom, the numbers is not going to lie. Does Shai have an argument? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when I look at his team, he doesn't have a second All-Star, nor does Joker. Nor does Joker.
Jamal.
I mean, we can't say Jamal. He's never made an All-Star team. You know, but I do believe Jamal as a second best player is better than what Shai has as a second best player. Whether it's Jalen Williams or Chet, you know, Jamal is just a little more proven than them guys. Will these guys be better than Jamal? I think so. I mean, they got potential to be. But, yeah, it's Nikola Jokic right now. I think we just wasn't ready to give it to Shai right now because he didn't get a lot of national attention.
Yeah.
They didn't get a lot of national televised games to where you could be like, you know, a lot of people just looked up and was like, a lot of people, let me tell you, a lot of people looked up at the end of the year and didn't even know OKC was the number one seed. Because they didn't get that national attention. So
that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? So next year, if they get the national televised games and, you know, he's already put the league on notice, you know, he got the commercials and everything. If he had got 20 national televised games, Skip, this year, he would have won.
Yeah, maybe so.
He would have won.
By the way, Jamal is in the Laker Hall of Fame, if you didn't know that. He's already in there.
What are you talking about?
Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Why? Because he hit those two shots?
Yeah. He hits them every year, he hits them against you.
Nobody worry about all that, Skip. Come on now. Worry about the Cowboys.
So I'm not upset at Joker. I thought he really sealed it with what he did.
Well, this might be his last MVP.
I can't say that.
No, the reason I'm going to say it is because there's such a thing as fatigue, MVP fatigue.
And the voters, yeah.
With the voters.
Yeah.
Now, you look at it over the last 4 years, you could have had a conversation. He should have won all 4 years. You could have had that conversation if you choose to have that.
Oh, yeah. So, like last year, after Joker went through the playoffs, won finals MVP, but Embiid got it, everybody was like, oh, Joker should have won it.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Call this award right after the season.
So, when you look at it, and you say, well, Joker shouldn't get it. Shai should get it. If Shai does what he did this year, next year, he'll get it.
Yeah.
And they the number one, number two seed, he'll get it. Because he got punished this year because a guy in Joker's been doing this consistently, and he just won a world championship.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, is Shai is up next, first in line. Joker will take a little bit of a backseat. They'll probably get swept. People will be mad that they gave him the MVP because they got swept. And you'll hear everybody say, oh, they gave the MVP to a dude that got swept. Please, why would y'all do that? And that'll be fresh in the voters' minds next year if Shai does this again, Skip. Yeah. But I don't have a problem with him. I don't have a problem with Joker getting it because Joker was cooking everybody all year long anyway. You couldn't do nothing with him.
I will remind you, last year in February, not this past season, but the year before, Joker went to Philadelphia and Embiid destroyed him.
Yeah.
And that showed everybody, oh, that happened head to head. It was an annihilation. Yeah. I should have looked up the numbers, but I just
like
remember
40 plus points.
But it resonated the rest of the year for the voters. Okay, so all I know is, if you look at what Oklahoma City has accomplished, I know they're off radar, not on national TV, but if you look at when Dagnall went there, his first year they go 22-50, then they go 24-58, then a year ago they go 40-42 and they eked into the playoffs, but they were two games under 500. And you vault from 40 wins to 57 wins to 25 losses, 57-25. And you win as loaded a Western Conference as I can ever remember.
Yeah.
A Western Conference that featured Steph and Clay and Draymond and Steve Kerr as the 10 seed, ultimately, right? It, top to bottom, it was star-studded and star-packed. Yeah. And wait, that little team, that cute little college team from Oklahoma City, on the last day of the year, they eke out winning the West. They were the one seed, 57-25. And he was obviously the best player on the best team by far because it's hard to make a case for who the second best player is. Is it, I don't know, Jalen Williams, the Jalen from Santa Clara who starts? Is it maybe he'll become that at some point? Maybe it's Chet. Maybe Chet, he was a rookie, but maybe you say he's the second best. Maybe it's Josh Giddey, who's been there and is more of a veteran player from Australia, but I don't know. I can't even do that. So it's hard to even say who's your Jamal Murray or your Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. is really good. I don't care what you say. He's been great in a lot of big games and is capable of making six or seven threes. So to me, it screamed for Shai to win it because the degree of difficulty for him to lift that team all the way to the top of the West,
yeah.
It's hard, man.
Yeah, it is.
And you did it out of nowhere off a year in which you were sub 500. That's what you call most valuable player.
Yeah.
Because he did that almost by himself. They're a nice young team. I love to watch them play.
Yeah.
And they have better depth than most people give them credit for. But they're all just now arriving right before your very eyes. This year, the regular season was about SGA MVP to me. And I kept saying it for 2 weeks, and then I kept hearing, oh, but it's a done deal. It's Joker. Why did it have to be a done deal? I don't know. And then they blew it at the end of the year, and they had a game. They went and lost at San Antonio.
You know? Spot.
They did. They went and blew a game, and San Antonio didn't have anybody left except Wimby, and he came up big, and they came up
you
small.
You know what these MVPs really come down to, Skip? It's about, yeah, SGA was really good this year. But it really comes down to during the regular season, you got to have those signature games.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when he goes to Denver this year, he had 5 points. You know, those are games where you got to be like, oh, he's got to dominate. Like, yeah. When I see Joker going to Minnesota on the road and get 40 and 11.
He did.
In the regular season.
Threes from half court against the Lakers.
Like, those are signature games, though, against the top defensive team. This was during the regular season I'm talking about. When I see Joker go and give Anthony Davis in the regular season a marquee matchup, 38-12-12,
yep.
Those are signature games you got to have. And I know he's had some signature games. I don't know if what he did against Luka during the regular season, but you look at those matchups.
He's weird. He doesn't go for 50. He just keeps scoring 30.
He just keeps scoring 30, though. Right. But, like, Luka, he has those games where he goes way over his average. In a big game.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's with the voters. It's like when you watch a boxing match and Shea is a jabber. He jabs you all
game.
But if you got a guy who constantly giving you power punches, you're going to look at that in a match. You might have landed more jabs, but I landed more power punches.
Okay.
And so that's going to get the voters to look like, oh, he did more.
All right. So check this out. Shea goes 36 rebounds and a career-high 6 assists.
Yeah.
That's pretty good because he's
amazing.
Not the point guard, okay? And he averaged a career-high 2 steals.
Mm-hmm.
So most people don't care about this stat, but I do. Defensive win shares, individual defensive win shares. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander ranked 8th in the league. He's a top 10 defender, and nobody talks about it, but that shows you that over 82 games, he ranked 8th in individual defensive win shares.
Mm-hmm.
Joker improved dramatically this year and was all the way up at 17th after he was, like, playing no defense for the previous 3 or 4 years. So I give him credit for that. But Shea doesn't get any credit for being a top 10 defender.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers say he's the best defender on his team, and you love Lou Dort, and I do too.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them play some defense because they were a top 5. They ranked 4th overall in defense. But, okay, so Shea is doing it on both ends and still not getting the credit for it.
Yeah, he's not going to get the credit until they consistently on national TV.
Next year.
And we got those signature games. I want to see those games when, during the regular season, you're matched up with another guy who's in the MVP talks. Like when we see Joker versus Embiid, Joker versus Giannis. You know what I'm saying? Like now,
well,
I want to
like
see.
Like you said, Shea versus Luka.
Shea versus Luka. What are you going to do that game? Now, whoever wins that matchup, okay, he gets the edge that day. You know, so we got to see, okay, when Shea goes against Anthony Edwards, let's see, you know, who wins that battle. So we got to see those marquee matchups to where, all right, he outplayed him that night. We can give him the edge.
But here's the point. Shea gets the quietest 30 I've ever seen.
Yeah,
where I look at the box score at the end of the game, I say, he got 30?
Right.
I don't even remember him.
But if he was on national television.
It would help.
If he was on national television more, that quiet 30 would be louder.
Yeah.
It would be a louder 30.
This is why I brought up to you whenever it was a couple of weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
I was astounded. I was pleasantly surprised that SGA and Chet, a rookie, got a national TV commercial. And I don't love the commercial because it's kind of silly to me, and I still don't get why they picked this Christina Aguilera song from whenever it was, 1999. Yeah. What a pro needs, what a pro wants. And it's kind of irritating. Then I see on the internet, I see people are just worn out of it because they play it like every other commercial. And I don't get the point of it because I don't think they would know that song and start just singing that song to each other.
I didn't know anything about the song either.
Okay, but the premise of the commercial is that they're vibing off each other. Like yeah. you say one line and then you say a line yeah. and then you start singing. Oh yeah, that song. They don't know that song. I don't know. Don't why would they pick that? Okay. But the point was, it's eight. I think it's AT&T national commercial. Yeah. Right? Okay. Well, that's pretty great.
No, it's a start. It's a start. Yeah, it's a start.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a start.
And
right
going into next year, coming out. Okay. Coming out of the playoffs, no matter how it ends for OKC.
Yeah.
Going into next year, it's in the minds of people.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the minds of people that they was the number one seed. Right. They got to the playoffs. And if they beat the Mavs, they got to the Western Conference Finals.
They would.
Against whoever, Denver or Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's going to be in the minds of the voters.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the minds of the voters for Anthony Edwards. Going into next, all they got to do is duplicate the same season. They can't have a drop-off significantly. So they just got to duplicate
it. Does charisma matter in MVP voting?
No, if that's the case, then Joker ain't got no charisma.
Okay, he's a great post-game interview. I think he's sensational. I hang on his every word.
But that's not charisma. No, that ain't that charisma.
It's like that dry humor.
Yeah. He has dry humor, exactly.
It's that dry humor.
Okay, Shea's not a great interview, but I think he's like the best dressed player in the league.
Definitely got the best dress.
He is up there, man.
Did he wear that leather the other day? Is that?
I mean, that's the new drip, though. That's the new drip.
Yeah. All leather? A leather tie, a leather jacket, a leather.
I can't pull that off, Key. And you and me. And you
no, don't
Skip
speak
can't
for me. Don't
off.
Speak for me. I'm just.
I can't, but this is with the youngest guy. It's drip. They call that drip.
Where did you see him walk in his walk?
I think it was him, right?
Yeah, with
that,
yeah,
like mustard,
peanut butter.
It's
all mustard.
Peanut butter,
mustard or peanut butter.
It was like leather from head to toe.
Yeah.
Tie, leather tie. Leather bag. I was like, I guess.